and empower women to lead. I'm your host, Kenzie Taylor, cybersecurity queen, foodie, and Miss Maryland 2023. Let's get to the episode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Ladies Lead podcast. I am here today with a very special guest. I'm with Katie Fisher, the owner of Social Graces Events. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining today.
Of course.
Yeah. So I'd love to hear a little bit about your business.
Sure. So Social Graces started almost 8 years ago, started as a one-woman show, just me, and then has since grown into a team of 14 people. We're Maryland based, but we serve clients mostly in Maryland, Virginia, DC, but all over. We do a couple destination weddings a year, so we can serve people anywhere. And we're Social Graces Events, but we do pretty much only weddings exclusively. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I will say you do an incredible job. I actually met you at a wedding. It was Timmy and Sammy's wedding. I don't know if the Chesapeake Baby.
Yes.
And I was like, did you plan this?
Oh my gosh.
It was beautiful.
Yes.
Like, stunning.
Yes. Oh, thank you. What a good day. That was a good one.
What got you into event planning and specifically for wedding?
Yeah. So honestly, it happened really naturally. I had friends and people 8 years ago when maybe having like a day of coordinator or things like that was less common. And they were like, hey, I feel like my venue wants a point of contact, wants someone involved. And then I was helping them planning, doing all that. And then I started getting referred to people that I didn't know and like wanted planning services. And I was like, oh, this should probably be a business and have a name and all of that. So it happened really naturally. I did it as like a side hustle for a long time in addition to my corporate job. And then it got too big to be a side hustle and became its own business, but happened really organically. I didn't study hospitality or event planning or anything. It just natural progression of life, which is not usual. It doesn't normally happen like that.
Yeah. But what were you doing before event planning?
So I studied early childhood education in college. That was my major. I never taught a single day in my life. I worked for my sorority's national headquarters right out of college, worked for them for a couple years, and then naturally progressed into recruiting for the corporate world. So then I was recruiting college students and then doing event planning in the corporate world for that. And then transitioned into this. Yeah.
You must have loved it.
Oh yeah. You have to love it to work every single weekend and be working with clients that are dealing with the most stressful thing that they've ever done. You know, you have to love it to really be involved in it.
Yeah. How is event planning for corporate events different than weddings?
Yeah.
I think of bridezillas immediately, but
yeah. I was going to say it's a lot less personal, right? Like, and it's a lot bigger. So we're planning events for hundreds and hundreds of people that are more like conference style. Obviously, it's personal and you're infiltrating ideas about the company in there, but this is like so personal to people. It's their biggest moment or their family's spending a lot of money. There's a lot of investment. So there's a lot more personalities and things to deal with, whereas corporate world, you just plan whatever you want and it comes to life and people are happy to be there and, you know, enjoying it.
I have to ask, did you plan your own wedding?
I did. I planned my own wedding, but then at the time I didn't have a big team. So I had another event wedding planner friend and her team facilitate the wedding day. So I planned it, like I did all the design and picked everything out, but I had people on site managing the day.
Wow.
I knew how important that was, right? So I was like, well, it can't be me. So who's going to be doing that? So then I hired her to kind of do the event facilitation of it.
Good. Where are you from?
I am from Middletown, Maryland, originally, like towards the Frederick area.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Yeah. And I live now in Newmarket, which is, again, near Frederick, but on this side of 70. But Maryland, born and raised. I lived in Atlanta for a little bit right out of college when I was working for my sorority, and then lived in Charlotte, North Carolina for 4 years, and then made our way back to Maryland.
Good. Yeah. Well, Maryland has beautiful wedding venues.
Yes.
I will say, I just got engaged over the weekend.
I know. Congratulations.
I haven't announced it yet.
Oh, my gosh. This is it.
No. No, by the time this airs, it will be announced. So, yeah, like starting to think about wedding venues and the process. So what is the process for every bride that comes to you?
Yeah, so we have a couple different planning options. So some people we do full planning for. We meet with them from the very beginning. We're setting up budget, design, helping them find the venue.
That's good to know.
I mean, there doesn't have to be a budget. There doesn't have to be. But we're helping the guide because a lot of people first time doing this, or, you know, they haven't had siblings that have gotten married recently. Like, there's no real understanding of what weddings cost. Even if you do like an internet search, it's not giving you real good information. So we're helping people set expectations early on and then helping them to hire every vendor to bring that to life. So starting with the venue, or they might have already come to us with just the venue, mm-hmm. and then going through all of that. And then some of our clients we do partial planning for, which is like 6 months out. So they've got the big stuff figured out. They've booked photo, they've booked venue, they've booked caterer, but they want those more fine-tuned details, like a cool seating chart or linens or tabletop stuff. Like, how do we make their wedding feel unique and special to them and not just like any wedding off of Instagram or Pinterest or things like that? So we help those final 6 months kind of infusing those details. And then we also have event facilitation clients. So they've planned everything. We meet with them like 45 to 60 days out from the wedding, and we're just tying it all together in a pretty bow, putting it together, and then we're facilitating it on the actual wedding day and communicating with all their vendors and being their point of contact for like that final month of wedding planning. So we do everything. I mean, a lot of planners streamline into only doing event facilitation. That's kind of their bread and butter, or only doing full planning design clients. We take the full gamut of everybody. And then depending on what you need, we'll align you with the right person on my team that kind of either specializes in that type of service or specializes in that venue. They work there all the time. So we kind of match you with the right person.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, that's very cool. I feel like all of my friends are getting married right now. And that's why I said there's a budget, because they've been telling me like, oh, weddings are expensive.
Yeah.
Like $50,000 or $40,000. And I was like, did you budget for that? That's insane, you know?
Yeah.
But I guess it's really cool that a bride can come to you and say, hey, our budget is $20,000 and you can design the wedding for her.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And well, you're exactly right. Weddings are like way more expensive than people ever imagine. Right. So a lot of times people come to us and we're their only point of contact that's going to be that realistic budget person for them of like, actually, this is kind of what you can expect to spend, or, okay, where are your priorities? Like, maybe we need to eliminate this type of vendor completely and like focus on food, or focus on the band, or focus on whatever. And also a lot of our clients, if they overspend too early, then they are in a bad situation later on where they can't get things that they want, or they just have to go really over budget. So budget is the very first conversation, at least in our world. And I would say most planners would say that same thing of like, all right, let's sit down and know what this is, because we can't hire anyone. Or, I mean, honestly, venue poor is like a really big term, because people, you have all the money in the world when you're going to book a venue, right? Because it's your very first thing. And you're like, oh, that seems reasonable. And then when you look at it, you're like, oh, that was way too big of a chunk. And now I don't have all this money for all these other things. So we have a lot of like free budget, freebie stuff for people that are planning themselves. And we can like just send, you know, resources to them, or, you know, we offer freebies for venue selection and budgeting and dress code. And on our website, there's a bunch of free resources. So I'm sure you have show notes or something. We can link that dress code. Yeah. People are like, I don't even know what to tell people. What does that mean when someone says cocktail? Or what does it mean when someone says formal? Are those different? Like, what does that mean? So like breaking that down for them.
No, that makes complete sense. I feel like when you mentioned linens, I was like, never thought about that.
Yeah.
Like, people pick out their linens for their wedding. And
yeah.
I heard flowers also are something that people don't often think about, but they really make or break the venue.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think most of our clients are like very interested in floral heavy weddings. And they change the space. I always tell people that if you're looking to make a visual impact, the way to do it is linens, because they take up so much visual space in the room. So instead of doing like a blank, like a, you know, ivory or white linen, which is totally fine, but like, just imagine like a more interesting linen, you know, doing that 20 times over in the room, it just kind of changes the whole space. So linens, chairs, because again, you're going to have 100 or 150 of those, and then flowers really change the space.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are there specific vendors that you usually recommend working with? And are there any that you just tell your bride, don't work with
them. It's like, a good question. Are you? Yeah, I am very honest. But we don't require that any of our clients work with like a specific vendor list. Like we don't say you're working with us, you have to use this photographer, you have to use XYZ. But we have a really strong reference list of people that we've worked with before. So again, reflecting back to budget, we would say, okay, here are 5 to 8 photographers in our area that match what you're looking for. So you've already shown me some inspiration pictures that you like or things like that, because stylistically photographers are so different, whether their coloring is different or they're posing or whatever. And I'd say, okay, here are people that match what you're looking for and also match that really important budget number that we've already set up. Right. So we're not inquiring and reaching out to people that are 3 times that budget, you know, because then you're just wasting their time, you're wasting your time, all of that. So we can give references for that. We don't have like a blacklist or a list of vendors that we don't work with. I've never encountered someone that would be that polarizing. But if people say, okay, here's the 2 people we're between, like, which one would you pick? If they were exactly the same pricing, exactly the same everything, who would you pick? I certainly could like pinpoint and say, hey, let's go with that one, you know? And there's always opinions of people that you like to work with on a wedding day. It's really a big cohesive group effort on a wedding day. So anybody that's easy to work with and does a good job consistently, yeah, it's like, yep, I know that they're going to have a better wedding day for everybody involved.
Good. Okay. Talk to us a little bit about your business structure.
Yeah.
You mentioned you have a team of 14, right?
Yeah.
Are you the lead planner?
Yeah. So I am the lead planner, owner, step one of all things. Yes, exactly. If you inquire, you're touching base with me initially. Like, I'm basically touch point one for pretty much everything. It's always funny when I talk to like people with like marketing. My husband owns his own business and he's like talking about his marketing department or like all of a sudden I'm like, I am the marketing department. Like I might like designate or delegate things, but like I am step one for all things. That's probably a control issue on my part, but
hey,
step one for all things. But then I have one other girl on my team that's a lead planner. So she takes pretty much all of our month of event facilitation clients. That's kind of her bread and butter, but they'll work with her directly. So sometimes those clients have inquired. I've met them virtually, but I might never meet them before their wedding day because they're her people and they work with her directly. Most of the people on my team are more event support staff, assistants, things like that. So some of them work every weekend. They work all the time. Some of them work a couple events a year. I kind of touch base checkpoint with them at the beginning of each year and say, what are you interested in doing this year? They're all young 20-something women, so they might be having babies or they might be doing, you know, what's your capacity this year? And then we slap them in accordingly.
Amazing. Well, speaking of that, you're a mom, right?
Yes.
And
yeah.
How many kids did you say that you had earlier?
I have 2. I have a newly 5-year-old son, and then my daughter just turned 1 in January.
That's an itty bitty.
Yeah. They're a lot of fun. It's the world's toughest job, I think, but it's wonderful.
How do you balance event planning, being there on site for weddings, and also having kids at home and young kids?
Yeah, it's a lot. I would say work-life balance for people in the event industry in general is not good because we all work like 6 to 7 days a week. We work weekends, you know, it's not a 9-to-5 job. You know, our clients have our cell phone numbers and they're texting late night when they wake up and have like a wedding nightmare about something, you know, like we're kind of on call all the time. I enjoy that because I love connecting and being personal to people. But I will say having kids, it was a major shift of like, okay, maybe I'm not working 9-to-5, but like when it's dinner time or like when my son has a game or things happen, like I have to shut off and kind of focus and dedicate on family time. But I will say I'm extremely lucky. I have a very involved husband, father of my kids. So weekends are he's parent A. Like I'm like, bye, I gotta go to a wedding. It's him. And then obviously we have wonderful family support and full-time daycare, which, you know, wonderful. They're there all day during the week. We have like an at-home daycare, so it's like a second home for them. But basically the balance is full-time daycare, a very involved husband, and family that kind of fills in the holes when there's a late meeting or events on weekends or things like that.
Good. Yeah. Well, it's probably helpful that he owns his own business, right?
Right.
He gets it. His own hours.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. I think that's, we both work way too many hours at weird times of things, but it's that balance of we both understand and get it because mm-hmm. it's ours, right? Like if we don't do it, who's going to do it? So, and there's a really good understanding there that I think a lot of people probably that run their own business, if they're significant other has like a typical 9-to-5, maybe there's it's harder to understand or balance
yeah,
that.
Yeah, sure. So how do you measure success for your business? Is it about the amount of weddings that you have a month or a year? Or what is it for you?
That's a really good question and probably something that I should really hone in on because as I have a real big scarcity feeling about weddings, I'd love to take like all of them, you know, fill the calendar, do it every weekend. Because when I started, that was how it had to be, right? Because you were charging less money, you were doing all that, you needed to fill the calendar and be working all the time. Now, 8 years in, charging a lot more, doing all these things, I have a team that can be doing a lot more things. But I still, like, if I wake up on a Saturday morning and I don't have a wedding, I'm like, where am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to be doing today? So I would say overall, my goals are revenue based. So like, once I hit a certain number or a certain number of events per month, like I really can stop booking. But if someone inquires and I'm like, oh, that sounds like that's going to be really good. Like I'm still like, put it on the calendar. My husband would say, hey, you don't need to book this many or you don't need to do this. But I think I just love it. Right. So if something's exciting, we want to get it on the calendar and do it and figure out how to do it. A lot of other wedding planners that I'm friends with, they're like, I'm sorry, how many events are you doing this year? Like, why are you doing so many? I'm like, well, because I want to and because I love it. And why not? So, yeah.
So thinking back to COVID, right? A lot of weddings weren't happening. And I guess your business was still, I guess you were 4 years in at that point, right?
Correct.
So how was that for your business? And did you do any virtual weddings?
Oh, it was very different. So basically, we had a wedding on March 16th of 2020, and then that was the end.
Just made it.
Yeah, they literally just made it. They were the last things. Like, it was so... Everybody didn't know what was going on. Like, we got there and we're like, are we shaking hands? What's going on? It's kind of the time when everybody thought like, oh, this is going to be a couple of weeks and then we'll figure it out. And obviously it was very different than that. So canceled pretty much everything. And we helped, since we're kind of their core contact, we helped everybody move their dates, move all their vendors, do all of that. So we were behind the scenes puppet master of making all of that happen.
That must have been overwhelming.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot. But honestly, it was like so emotional for the clients that we were like, somebody just has to step in and kind of take the brunt of all of this. And all of the vendors are feeling the same way. So for us to get on like a mass email with everybody and say, okay, we're rescheduling. Which dates does everybody have available? Let's work all this out. So we moved everybody. At first, we were moving people like a couple months, you know, and then it was like, oh, okay, this is way longer than this, right? So we need to move everybody. And we moved everybody for the remainder of 2020 and then the beginning of 2021. And then we started to have events again, but on a much smaller scale. So like we had events in April of 21, but they were like 10 people, 15 people. They were like much more smaller, intimate events, which was really cool, but very different than what they originally planned. And then some people, we planned really small events and then postponed their big event for like a year later. Wow. So like they had two weddings, basically, like a small one and then a big one that we planned as well. But yeah, we moved everybody. And with that came like a lot of interesting... no work-life balance, basically, is what happened. Because we were fitting two and a half years worth of weddings into 9 months later on. Oh, so
God. I went to so many.
Yeah, we did. So I would say a normal year for us is like 40 to 45 for our team, 40 to 45 weddings. And in 9 months, we did 77 weddings.
Oh,
and
goodness.
Yeah, I mean, it's nauseating to think about that because we were literally doing weddings Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, like all the time. But when you have a client who reaches out to you and they're like, the venue says that they can do Thursday, I'm not going to be the person that's like, well, I already got two other weddings that weekend. That's a lot for us. Like, I'm like, perfect. Let's get it on the calendar and like, let's move all your people. So it was crazy, but we're definitely people first mentality. So like what we could do to get our clients scheduled was all that we needed to do. And very few times we had to like eliminate a vendor because they weren't available and hire someone else. Like I would say pretty much all of our weddings were almost completely the same vendor team, just switched to a new date. So
good. good. I hope the vendors were flexible with price as well.
Yeah. Well, I think most people were just looking to keep, like, keep everything the same and just move it to a new date. Like, there wasn't a lot of people gouging for, like, rescheduling or, like, you know, extra fees or things like that. Like, everybody was just excited to be working again and getting some stuff back on the calendar.
Good. So yeah, that must have been a very tough time, but we're on the other side of it.
Thank you. I mean, all my best friends were like sending me like DoorDash gift cards and wine and like whatever. They're like, you can do this. And I'm like, I love this.
That's so sweet.
I know, it's funny to think back to, but like literally I just like be up all, I mean, I was like, I was not sleeping. I was up all the time and like literally like Chick-fil-A would like show up at my door and I'm like, oh, I have such good people, you know?
That's really sweet.
Yeah.
So that was 4 years ago.
Yeah. But
thinking forward, 4 to 5 years from now, where do you want your business to be?
Yeah. So a couple long-term goals. I mean, obviously, I have a wonderful team. I'd love to continue to nurture and facilitate some of the girls on my team that are just assistants right now, like to show them that you've worked like a lot of weddings now, like you can do this on your own. Obviously, I would never pressure anyone that's not interested in being a lead. Is a lot more for work than just showing up on the wedding day and being hands, right? But I think there's a lot of girls on my team that would be really good at it. So expanding so that more people on the team are doing leads, and then that just allows the business to grow in general, right? We can take on more clients. We can take on more of those event facilitation clients that we don't always have calendar room for. And build more of the team. And then I have a online course that's like a masterclass for people that we would probably never work with, right? It's like people that are really DIYing, planning their whole wedding, but like they want to, they need professional insight, right? They've never done this before. So like, okay, I'm setting up a budget. What does that mean? Click into the video link and watch a 7-minute video on setting up a budget. Literally my face on a video screen, like everything that we lead our full planning clients through in person, just on a computer screen, self-paced, self-guided. And we've just been so busy actually doing events that I feel like I haven't been able to nurture that to from like a marketing perspective or to the right people all the time. So we put a lot of time and investment in making all those things. I'd really love to see it hit a wider audience. So that's a goal for me. Like it already exists. It's a matter of just getting it to the right people. And then personally, my husband and myself and 2 business partners, we are planning to build a venue, wedding venue. Yeah, I mean, it's a lifetime type project.
Yeah.
But we have purchased land. We've purchased property. Oh. We're in all of like the initial zoning.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. All the initial like crazy zoning things you have to jump through, county stuff, all of that. Within the next 5 years, hopefully there's a building and things going on. That's the goal. But that is certainly like a lifetime goal project for my family and for their family, and making that like long-term sustainable, of having a place where people are getting married and not just my business and our team planning it, but something for any wedding planner or any vendor to be working at.
Yeah. Do you know what the theme is going to be for that building?
The theme of it? If I had to classify it, I would say like very classic, almost European style. Ooh. Gardens. we're hoping to have like a big like arboretum type look of it. It's out in the middle of like 30 acres, like a big wide open property that hopefully with like mountain views and everything. So the goal is like slightly European without it making it feel like it's just random in the middle. But, and we're hoping to have lodging for like 40 people to stay the whole weekend, make it like a full event experience. Yeah.
That kind of reminds me of King's Mansion in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like very European, gorgeous. Okay. So let me know when up.
I'm like, how long do you want to wait to get married? Like, when we'll have it ready for you in 5 years? Like, is that good?
No. Wait 5 years, but no, it sounds beautiful.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah. And hopefully, I mean, we're still going through all the red tape, right? So I'm like always hesitant to like share about it, but I was talking to my business partners earlier and I was like, I think I'm going to say it, because she asked what future goals are. And I was like, 5 years from now, we should be running a successful wedding venue. So,
oh my goodness. Yeah. I'm very excited for you.
Thank you. Thank you. And I think I'll always still have social graces. Like I'm not interested in, at least in the next 5 years, right, dismantling that or anything. I want to be planning weddings. I want to be doing that. That's what I'm passionate about. But this is just in addition to that.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, tell me a little bit about your parents, your family. Where do you think you get your drive from?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is family based and coming from my parents. Both of my parents, my dad was a police officer my whole life. My mom was a stay at home mom. And when I was in late elementary school, my dad went back and got his law degree. So he was like studying, doing all that. And then when I was in middle school, my mom went back and got her master's degree in occupational therapy. So like I was watching my parents, even as like a young person, going back, like really driven by what they wanted to do with their lives and focus on that. And I think that also is where like, you know, starting your own business and being an entrepreneur, you have to take a little bit of risk, right? Of like, okay, I'm setting this aside and I'm going to do this thing. And I know that comes from like a place of privilege to be able to say like, you know what, I'm just going to take the jump and do this. But I think if it wasn't for our strong family backgrounds and again, like my husband's support, things like that, I would have maybe never done that and just stayed in the corporate world. But obviously things have worked out and they've been wonderful. But I think that initial jump and drive came from my parents and came from what the family I was raised in, and this the support and knowing that, you know, you're able to take those types of risks.
So. Wow, your parents sound incredible.
Yeah, thanks. They are.
A lot too about my mom. She worked 3 jobs when I was growing up.
Yeah.
I always saw her constantly working for a new goal and making things happen. So I do think it does affect us and makes us definitely hard workers.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. I mean, and there's not to say anything that if parents are just working normal jobs and not doing all those things, they're not hard workers too. But I think if you see that drive and just constant achieving and all of that, that it becomes internalized.
Yeah, you do the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have a role model or are your parents your role models?
I would say my parents are like my main role models, right? Like that family structure is my guide for most things in life. And then also like parenting wise, like having that drive, doing all of that, but family always being the very first thing that you're worried about and focusing on. And my parents were doing all things, working a lot of jobs, going to school, doing all of that, but they were always at everything and involved. And I think that has come through in the way I want to be with my kids too.
And what about in business? Is there another wedding planner or someone that you looked up to and kind of helped you with this idea?
Yeah, I would say there's not someone specific, but I think that there's a lot of talent in this industry and also a lot of community. I would say that it feels like everybody's competing, but there's so many weddings. Like there is so much work. Like there is so much work for everybody that you might be talking to the same people. You might be like fighting for the same client, but if that client doesn't book, then there's someone else, you know? And there's a really strong community in our industry. Like I know a ton of wedding planners and we all talk to each other. We're like in the group text with each other of like what wild things are happening at this wedding this day. And you know, if someone plans an event or whatever, like we're all there. We're all part of that. It's really not, I mean, not that it's not competitive. We're competing for the same clients, but it doesn't feel competitive. I was just at a planner event like a couple weeks ago and I was talking to one of my friends and she was talking about, and I was like, oh, is that so-and-so? Oh yeah, I talked to them too. Like we're talking to the same people and it's like, oh yeah, you booked so-and-so. Okay, cool. Or like if we all get the same like crazy inquiry that week of like someone who asked for something absurd, I'm like, did you all get this too? Like, what are we saying? What's our response to this? I don't think you're going to say anything crazy, but that's fine. We've dealt with crazy things. But I think there's so much talent. So like you see people doing really interesting things with florals or really interesting things with color or all the different ideas. And we're just like kind of always capturing that, right? Like, oh, that's awesome. I should think whenever I have a client that fits with, like maybe we could do something that aligns or mimics that. Or a lot of times our clients don't know what they want, right? We're like pitching or giving them ideas. So if we see creative things from other people, we're not going to duplicate it, right? But like, how can we emulate certain things and, you know, just be inspired by other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you experienced any adversity being a woman in business? Besides bridezillas. And I want to get into that, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I think the adversity that comes is luckily for us, weddings are very women. It's a women run industry. So it's less, a lot of women in business probably feel like men are running things or men are doing certain things. And maybe that affects them. I will say that like 85% of the women, 85% of the vendors that are going to be on a wedding day are women. So we are kind of like,
I love that.
You know, there's a community in the wedding industry. I had a wedding a couple months ago that the photo team was male, the videography team was male, and someone else was male. And I was like, there's too many boys here. Like, this is not normal. Usually it's like I'm surrounded by women all day. It was just funny because that's kind of where it is. But I would say it, from being a business owner perspective, and I think this is all entrepreneurs in general, but like the belittling of business of like, oh, you're still wedding planning, or like, oh, you know, like coming from people that don't understand, right? Like they're like, oh, how is that or whatever. And you're just like, yeah, it's a giant business. Actually, I employ like a lot of people and do all these things, but like, you don't want to come off that way. But I think it's just a lack of knowledge on the industry in general and less of being a woman specifically. But
yeah, I've heard a lot of women say that actually, like, oh, yeah, that little thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, this is my business.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah. You're like, how's that little, no, you're like, oh, it's big business. Actually, yeah, lots of money.
I do start correcting people.
I'm like, do you want to see the budget documents that I've got going on, the amount of money that's flowing out of this? But yeah.
Yeah. Good. And dealing with bridezillas, is that something that actually happens or is it just on TV?
I would say, I mean, and knock on wood, right? We're lucky. We have wonderful clients. I think everybody has bridezilla moments, right? Like there's something that like gets so overwhelming mentally for them that they have a freak out moment. Or honestly, our clients most of the time feel like they should be freaking out and they're not. So they're like, what am I forgetting? What am I doing? I'm like, no, you just coast. Like, that's why we're here, right? Like, we're here to handle and do all this for you. But I think anything comes around emotions or family relationships or things like that, those are where people have little freak out moments. But in general, it's not at all what you're seeing on like, you know, J-Lo's wedding planner or like things like that. Like that is few and far between. And I also think maybe it comes from like a vetting perspective. Like if I'm talking to someone on the phone for inquiry and it's like red flag, red flag, red flag, I'm like, actually we're unavailable for this date. And you know, I don't always nail it, but I try to like streamline out people that I think are going to be continual issues for our team.
Yeah. Well, you're dealing with them for a long time,
yes,
essentially an entire year. So that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And honestly, most of the time our full planning couples are like a year to a year and a half out. But when we had our COVID couples, I mean, I had some of them for like 3 years, like we were constantly in contact, which is fine. And then now it's becoming more and more like it's more and more common that we're dealing with clients that want to get engaged and married on a shorter time frame. So a lot of like 7-8 month engagements to a wedding, and which is great. I mean, we do it fast anyway, so we might as well go ahead and have the wedding because there's always that like lull period of like we've done all the big stuff and you can't do all the little stuff until you're much closer to the wedding. So there's like this period of a couple months where people are like, what am I supposed to be doing? And they're like, nothing, we're just paused right now. And then we're gonna restart. So when you truncate the engagement period, you're just kind of getting rid of that little lull period in the middle.
I will say the idea of planning a wedding seems very overwhelming to me right now. Like someone actually texted us when we got engaged and they were like, oh, when's the wedding?
Oh my gosh, wait a minute. You're like, I don't know. And I don't know if you're invited, right?
Yeah, not sure yet. But oh my goodness. So it's very awesome that you're going to be there and you're always there for your brides to help them plan.
Yeah. And we take what feels like really big, overwhelming task and truncate it down to like smaller bite-sized things. So if our full planning clients were meeting on a monthly basis, so it's don't think about invitations yet. Like we're focused on these three things this month. And, you know, we make an actual to-do list, like that's in an app that they can see where they're focusing on things. And that helps to make this feel like this big overwhelming thing down to, you know, more manageable. And then also we're like behind the scenes doing all the legwork, you know, like we're inquiring, we're doing all the things, and then they just get to make the decisions on what they want. And it's funny, one of my clients is like, this isn't stressful at all. I don't know why people say this is stressful. And I'm like, girl, I love you. I love you, but we're over here doing everything. You're just like picking what you like in the end. And I was like, it shouldn't be stressful. So funny.
Because you're doing nothing.
Right. In the nicest way possible, I love you, but we're doing everything.
That's hilarious. Oh my goodness. So last question.
Sure.
Thank you so much for your time.
Of course.
What advice do you have for other women who are maybe starting their business or looking to grow it?
Yeah, I think kind of like we talked about earlier, just being like bold and brave and sure of yourself, even if it's like doesn't have all the backing, right? The imposter syndrome is deep when you own your own business, right? So just being certain of yourself. And then I think being a connector and being part of a community is really important. Like people, instead of feeling exclusive and excluding people and keeping people out, like the more you can connect people and feel inclusive, just the bigger and bigger your community gets. So if you meet someone and you're like, oh, have you met so-and-so or whatever, and just like really connecting people, then later on, I mean, I have so many vendors that are like, oh, you're the first person I recommend, or oh, you're the first, because we've facilitated that for them too, right? So as much as you can embrace people and get experience and meet people, the more that's going to help you in the business.
That's awesome. And yeah, very valuable for me as well.
Yeah. I mean, that's true outside of the weddings, right? It's true for anything. Like just be a connector and, you know, align people, and then who knows who they're going to connect you with. And people want to be, if people want to be in your circle and be in your space, like that's just going to continue to get bigger and bigger and create more opportunity, instead of feeling like, oh, I can't even go talk to her because it's so exclusive. I couldn't even go say something. And then who knows what that connection could have led you to. So
I know, I do feel like gatekeeping has become a big thing.
Yeah.
I love what you're saying. We need to empower each other. We need to support each other. And it does help you in the end.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, no gatekeeping. People are always like, oh, like I was like, if you want to know who we hire, if you don't even want to hire us as your planner, but you want to know what florists we like, just go to Instagram. We tag every single person in every single picture. Like, even if you don't hire us, you're going to see who we work with and who we know, because like, I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not going to tell you who did those flowers. Like, yeah, I want that florist to get more business. So I'm going to connect with them, and then they might connect us with someone else that feels like a good fit. And that pertains to life too. I mean, just like meeting people and knowing people and being a yes person. Like, I mean, this is a fun opportunity I never would have like gotten, you know, just saying like, sure, I'll be on a podcast. Why not? That's great. And like another person who put me on another podcast like last month. And I was like, is this a thing now? Am I a podcast guest?
You're a star.
And I was like, things I didn't have on my 2024 list was being on podcasts, but here we are.
Really? Well, you're doing great. You're very well spoken.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time.
You're so welcome.
How can we follow you and support you?
Sure. So Instagram is at Social Graces Events. Mm-hmm. And then our website and everything is on there. And like I said, if there's anybody that's planning a wedding or interested, there's a ton of free resources on there. So feel free to grab those. And yeah, Instagram's the best way. You can email me too. But to see our work and what we do, Instagram is definitely the best showcase of that.
Awesome. Well, we will follow you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Katie.
You're very welcome.
On YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. See you Wednesday for a brand new episode.